We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. Along with me is Greg Pickle, which it's a good thing he's here because it's time for Ask Greg. This is your opportunity to ask Greg all your questions about Penn State football, recruiting, beer, anything that he's an expert on. And whoever is deemed the best questioner will get a KSN polo shirt. So that's something to look forward to for the best question. Greg, here we go. First one up. This is from Keith in Hollidaysburg. And Keith says, Jim and Dustin discussed Penn State's recruiting success in Michigan on the show earlier this week. I was interested, though, in your view on the following angle. How much does Penn State's recruiting success in Michigan indicate that Penn State is now viewed as the de facto number two power in the Big Ten after Ohio State and supplanting Michigan?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd quite draw that comparison, Jim. I understand why that would might appear that way and why it looks that way, but it's not like these guys are coming out of Detroit where it's a necessarily tippy top of Michigan's board and Michigan State's board. And I also think that on the other hand, Penn State might already be kind of at that point. So, you know, when you look at everything that they've done, obviously they've had trouble winning at Michigan, but they've certainly been just fine when Michigan's come to Happy Valley the last couple of years. So, I mean, I think that I don't really know if it indicates any more than what we kind of already knew and maybe already thought, which is that Penn State is very much in that conversation, if not at the top of that list. And I just don't know if this recruiting set of wins really changes anything about what we knew or what we thought. I do think there's times when Penn State is doing a lot better than Michigan and doing things a lot better than Michigan. But look, they're both kind of in that same boat. Obviously, Penn State got the 2016 Big Ten title, but they're both still fighting to chase Ohio State. And I know Penn State has more competitive games with the Buckeyes of late, perhaps, than Michigan has. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go as far as drawing that big of a comparison. I do think that Penn State's certainly in that conversation, and there's days and weeks during the year where it looks like the Lions have really skated ahead, and then there's days in the week and weeks and parts of the year when that maybe doesn't look as true. So, you know, I think it's a fair question. I think that Penn State certainly is in that mix, but ultimately it doesn't matter where you are in the hierarchy behind Ohio State as long as you actually are behind Ohio State. Penn State's that in that position now, and that's what they're looking to overcome and working to overcome over the next few months to come before the season starts.
I think more than anything else, it gives Penn State fans something to gloat over. All right.
Sure. Which is fair.
Yeah, why not? Next up is Bill in Philadelphia. Hi, Greg. Elijah Judy just announced his top schools, and Penn State was not included. After the past several years, it seems as though Penn State is too late on a couple higher-rated in-state recruits or has too much faith on their own out-of-state recruiting. It's almost as if they're taken by surprise to their bump in the rankings. Why is this the case, and should we be concerned?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Penn State's pursuit of Elijah Judy is over at this point in time. Obviously, I think many people were pretty surprised, quite frankly, when he released the top five that didn't include Penn State. But maybe they weren't as trending as well as we thought they were with him. Maybe the addition of Deion Barnes to the coaching staff wasn't as big of an impact as we thought, at least not initially. And maybe the transition from Sean Spencer to John Scott Jr. was a little bit more impactful to him than maybe that we anticipated. And if that was the case, you know, there's not a whole heck of a lot Penn State can do about that except for hoping that they will be able to get him back on campus once things normalize a bit and kind of show him what they have to offer now. And I think that door should always be open, even with him saying that, you know, his recruitment is now going to focus on just those schools, because again, the past relationship with Deion Barnes should really help in that regard. So, you know, Penn State and its Pennsylvania recruiting is kind of a recurring theme that we seem to talk about every so often. And look, I do think there's times that Penn State's a little bit behind the curve with some guys, but there's also a lot of times too where they are the first major school to offer a kid, and then you'll see a ton of big programs offer him in the couple of days that that follow that. So I get the question. I think there's probably some validity to it in some instances, but not enough times to be a major concern or something to fret over.
Okay. This question might be kind of related. Joel from Millersville asks, do you know why Penn State didn't offer Jeremiah Trotter, another in-state guy?
I think we've had that come up before, and I think Penn State did probably offer him. You know, obviously their recruiting sites don't always list guys offer all of them in their profile, especially once they commit very early on, as Trotter did. So, I mean, I haven't looked recently, and maybe he doesn't have a Penn State offer listed. In fact, he probably doesn't. But I don't think that, you know, the way to look at that would be to say, why didn't Penn State offer him? I just think that because he committed to Clemson as early as he did, that it just kind of, they stopped updating the things that came in. And, you know, Penn State certainly had to be interested in him if he reopened his recruitment. There's no doubt about that.
Okay. As we're going into the off season here, occasionally I go back into the archives of our questions. You know, during the season, we try to make them timely towards the game, either just played or about to be played. But here's a couple that are a little bit older, but they're good questions, I think, Greg. So I'm going to go with Randy in Binghamton. He says, after viewing the power running game of Noah Kane and the breakaway speed of the other backs, any chance of seeing a two-back formation this coming year?
I certainly think that's possible. Look, Kirk Ciarrocco's been as blunt as he could possibly be about the fact that they're going to do whatever they have to do and whatever they need to do to get as many playmakers on the field as possible. And while the idea of a two-back set may not be something we see every game or every half or even every quarter when Penn State has the football, I do think that that's going to be a part of what they do. They have too many talented guys for it not to be a part of what they do. And we saw Ricky Ronnie occasionally roll that out from time to time, but never maybe as frequently as some folks would have liked. And ultimately, I think we all know that, we all have opinions on what they should do, shouldn't do, should have done here, should have done there. And it'll never match up equally for everybody. But you know, all told, I think that that can be a bigger part of Penn State's game, and I do think we'll see. I think we'll see that in action this year for sure.
I've been an advocate for that, which is probably why I asked that question. And my theory, just being, if you got talent and there's a way to get that talent on the field, then do it. All right. Next up is Ted, and he is from White, PA. I'm not sure I ever heard of White, PA, but anyway, what Ted asks is, the screen is used by almost every college football team to slow down the pass rush. Why is it missing from the Penn State playbook?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that that's one that we would have been asking Ricky Ronnie about quite a bit this offseason had he stayed at Penn State instead of taking the old Dominion job. So certainly that's one area they can improve, and certainly that's one area they can mix that in. And I'm sure Kirk Ciarrocco is no stranger to the fact that that helps slow down the pass rush. So it'd be surprising, much in the same conversation as not, you know, I think they will use two backs, and I think they'll get screen passes going. I do think that's something we'll see this fall, and I think fans should be excited about what else that he'll add that we haven't seen before.
I think it's a case where a new set of eyes, new offensive coordinator, the hope is that he will be creative and we're going to see some new things. Any of those little pet things that we as fans were looking for, I think we have some hope this year. All right, next up is Bob, who is from Berwick, but now he's in Columbia, South Carolina. I wonder if he mentions that Berwick because I'm here and he knows that will help him. Anyway, Bob asks, why don't we pitch out or swing pass to Devin Ford? He looks like he could break every play if he has a little bit of space.
Yeah, I think that Jalen Sider was extremely complimentary of him during his conference call here earlier this week, and obviously thinks the sky's the limit for that kid. So, Jim, he's another one who clearly Penn State thinks that there's a big ceiling for what he can do, and that maybe there's more to his game than what we saw last year. So I absolutely expect to see him be a part of not just the running game, but also the passing game as well.
Okay, next up, Brian from Kansas City asked, Greg, why is it that in the arguments against an offensive coordinator, those that support him will say, hey, the players didn't execute? Isn't getting the players to execute still the job of the coaching staff? That argument never makes sense to me.
Yeah, sure it is. But I mean, you can put guys in position to do that. I mean, just think about your job. If you are in an assignment capacity or a management capacity, you can put people in position to be successful. You can give them all the tools they need. But if they go to the meeting and their part of the presentation comes up and they drop the ball, I mean, certainly it comes back to the person who prepared them. And I think that coordinators and coaches in college football do get plenty of flack in that regard for that very reason. But at some point, you know, you expect the people that you train and that you give all the tools to be able to use those abilities and learn, use the things they've learned to make successful things happen, be it in the business world, the sales world, the college football world, or what have you. So to me, I think that's really where that comes from. You can call the best play, but if the guy gets wide open because you knew what the defense was going to do and he drops the ball, I think that we too often blame the coordinator for this, that, or the other thing and forget to go back and realize that, you know, that play that he dialed up was exactly how it was supposed to go. And the players that were executing that play didn't follow through to their best of their ability, and so it didn't work. And I think that's where that argument comes from.
Right. Just like in any business. So right now I could be asking you the best questions in the world, but if you drop the ball, Greg, there's nothing I can do about that.
That's right, Jim.
Let's sneak in one more question. This is our good friend Steve from Potomac, Maryland. He asks, why did it take Franklin all year before he worked Will Levis into the game for a short yardage offense?
Well, I think that, you know, they just didn't have that as a part of their game plan. And I do think that that's one area that Kurt Schiraka is probably going to be graded on the most in this first year as an offensive coordinator, is how does he improve the short yardage situation? Now, he has seemed to indicate, Jim, that they won't go under center. We'll see if that actually turns out to be true by the time the season starts. But I think that's one obvious area for improvement. There were times where they were really good between the tackles and short yardage, especially when Noah Kane was on the field. And there was times that they really, really struggled in that area. So we'll see how it plays out. But ultimately, I think that's one area Kirk Schiraka will be graded in. I don't know that necessarily Will Levis is the guy they have to use in that regard, but he'll certainly probably be among the options.
Yeah, and I think it's more the overall question, short yardage situations. What are you looking to do? Can you be successful? All right, Greg, we got to 8 questions today, which is real good. Do you have a winner?
You know, it was a great week of questions. I like that one at the end about Steve from Maryland about the short yardage situation, because that's one that we get all the time, Jim. People want to know how Penn State is going to avoid situations where fourth and five or, you know, down and medium become a problem, and how they do that. But if they're going to win, they have to convert field goals into touchdowns, and you do that in the red zone.
All right. Steve is our winner. Steve, I'll be getting in touch with you. That is it for today's edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We will see you next time.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the Blue-White Spring Game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the Spring Game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.